I don't want the world, I only want your half. All the news while we've been away has been focused on Vladimir Putin's invasion of neighbouring Ukraine. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton, author and freelance journalist. Catch us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. We said he wasn't allowed to do anything, at least until we were back, Ed. But, you know, I've been out on my honeymoon. Putin wasn't listening to us, though, and on February 24th, Russia launched a widely anticipated invasion of the neighbouring state of Ukraine. What's your initial reaction?
Well, my initial reaction is you shouldn't have gone on your honeymoon because there was nobody around to watch him. And ergo, this is clear logic, you away, us unable to broadcast, Putin was free to invade. And now, guess what? They've cut off our communications with Russia. So the Blakely bandwagon has hit a stop. I got an email from Apple that our Apple podcast will not appear in Russia. Now, the Russian audience clearly has diminished as a result, but not to zero. So Russians are pretty clever. They figured this thing out. But more seriously, there are two ways we thought this would go the last time. One was by the time you got back from your honeymoon, we'd be talking about Ukrainistan, another adjunct to Russia. But the Ukrainians are doing more than just putting up a fierce resistance. They're inflicting damage on the Russian army, so much so that the Belarusians who were asked to come into the conflict have demurred. They said they're not going. The Belarusian generals say they're not going to go there. Now, that means the stuff we're seeing on TV, the fugitive YouTube videos, are only half the story. If the Belarusians are spooked, it's because they know they're close enough to the scene how many Russians are being ambushed and killed. So that's the second, the first part of the story. The second part of the story is, if you are able to demolish Ukraine, what have you got? You've got a bunch of rebel insurgents in the rubble who are sniping your soldiers, killing your assets, and you have the world turned against you. So where's the win here? We couldn't find an off-ramp 2 weeks ago. There are no ramps now. I think somebody's knocked them out. Biden is showing the U.S. has resolve, and we're going to tough it out.
You know, I understand there are a few Russians accessing foreign media through the dark web. So, look, shout out to any of our Russian listeners if they are listening to us still. But looking at that point you make on boycotts and sanctions and things being cut off within Russia, the latest being talked about is the ban of importation of Russian oil and gas. There's already been quite a few hits. What kind of effect is it having on the Russian economy, Ed?
Well, it's having a big effect on the Russian economy because the Russian economy, like our Australian economy, is a resource-based economy. We don't have a lot of bows in our quiver, neither the Russians. You know, the Russians actually have to import almost all the parts for their tanks from Czechoslovakia and elsewhere, in part because that's where they were made during the last war and during the old Soviet Union, but also in part that they have never really equipped themselves for a war, particularly one of this style and length. The other thing here is what I'm anticipating, and it's already beginning to happen, the U.S. has a lot of oil reserves that are not flowing. because the oil price was so low, down at $30 a barrel, you wouldn't even pump the oil out. But now it's over 100. And if you can get 40 or 50 a barrel, it's worth getting to. And this is shale oil in Wyoming, a lot of oil in Colorado, a tremendous amount of oil still in California untapped, offshore oil. And something that has not been talked about very much, which will help the United States, is the oil that's in Latin America, including Venezuela.
Mm.
The Venezuelans can make a deal here. As for the Europeans, the cutting off of the pipeline is probably coming at just the right time when spring is coming. And you can turn the heater down and so forth. And the Russians can't last 3 or 4 months without any real coin. They need gold, they need convertible currency. So the other thing that the Europeans can do is enormous shale oil that's off the coast of Finland, Norway, the UK, and Ireland. So they can up those pumps, particularly the gas side of that. Use gas rather than crude petroleum. And remember, again, we're coming in North America towards summer. So the demand for oil for heating is much reduced. So I think, why do these generals always invade at the wrong time?
Mm.
Have they never read Shin Shu? I mean, if you're going to invade, you invade in May. So you have 3 months before there's anything even like rain. Most of the Russian tanks are caught in mud. Another thing that's a bit surprising is the Russians are running out of fuel for their own aircraft. That's weird. How's that happening?
Mm.
So we seem to have better intelligence about the Russian forces than the Russians do. So I think this is a great F up. And Russian people are still demonstrating, even now, even today, which is quite a surprise.
Mm, absolutely. Looking at the American response, as you mentioned there, I mean, this has kind of been an opportunity for Joe Biden to look strong and to look forceful and to look like a leader, essentially. With the Republicans, it's kind of been a different side of the story. A lot of Republicans seem to be, initially at least, taking the side of Vladimir Putin, following the lead of their golden calf, Donald Trump, who, you know, gushed about how smart Putin was, calling his strategy in Ukraine wonderful and genius. There's been a bit of backtracking since then. What do you make of it, Ed?
Well, I make two things of it. Zelensky has been incredible.
Mm.
He could be president of anywhere right now. We were saying, bemoaning the fact a couple of weeks ago, there are no strong leaders in the world. Well, we found one, and just in time. So Zelensky is given back to the American public, and the Republican Party doesn't want to be on the wrong side of that. So some of them are coming tamer, but even Fox News is putting out a lot of stuff about the bravery of Zelensky and the strength of Biden, and he's miraculously bringing together the whole world around this. Biden went up 8 points after his speech, putting him ahead of anywhere Trump's been. And I think most people, including here, a little bit of pain helps you think your leaders are stronger. So I think, how do you put it, that people are getting ready for the pain so they can celebrate and stop being fearful of this imaginary demon called the vaccine. They can be on side to kill a dragon.
And look, obviously, I mean, speaking of fearful, you know, it's been incredibly hard for Ukraine, no doubt, but there are fears the conflict could escalate further and, I guess, finally turn the Cold War into a hot one. Putin has warned of consequences the likes of which you have never seen if other nations involve themselves, and put his nuclear forces on high alert. Ed, are there fears for how far this one could go?
I think the more we put him in a corner, the more likely he is to do that and find a reason to do it. The U.S. was going to give some planes to Poland, to let the Polish give planes to the Ukrainians. The U.S. is canceling that deal because they have probably heard through intelligence that Putin will use this as an excuse to invade Europe. And he uses nuclear arsenal. That's not to say those planes won't get there, or some of them some way, but I think this man is ready to push the trigger. If he's gonna go down, everybody's going down. That's where we are. So we better find an off-ramp for him.
I've seen a lot of people draw this line from Russia and Ukraine to China and Taiwan. A yearly governmental report from the Chinese this week said that China is committed to resolving the Taiwan question in the near future. I mean, you know, some are saying that China is watching the response of Western nations on Ukraine, gauging their reluctance to commit troops and such as they weigh up their options on Taiwan as well. Any thoughts on this one, Ed?
Well, I think this is one of the reasons for us Australians to be siding with the United States, because if that conflict breaks out, that's in our backyard. The Chinese have played this interesting. They have not voted for the Russians on anything. And they have these kind of quiet sanctions going, where the Russians, if they can't come up with cash, and that means something other than the ruble, they're not selling it via China to them. So there's something going on in the Chinese mind that said this kind of conflict that is outright aggression, we won't go for. We'd much rather try a more subtle strategy where we put a puppet in Taiwan, or, you know, change the leadership in some way before we use guns. So I think this is a longer conversation in which we probably need some other expertise. But I think the Chinese are not ready to make that move yet, but they will make it.
Mm-hmm. In other news, Joe Biden's first State of the Union took place this week. Bit of political theatre, as always. It touched on Ukraine, policing, COVID, you know, getting back to normal after COVID, and America's partisan divides. But was there much substance to this one, Ed?
Well, there are two bits of substance. One is he kept emphasizing that the administration has to look like the people of the country. And the kind of people who's going to put in office have to look like the kind of people who are out there in the street and not just old white men. And that there's good cheering and so on about that. The other thing is he made it clear the agenda he has is not off the table. Mm. He talked about improving the health system. He talked about the things for children, et cetera, to the applause of even Republicans. So I think he's a tired old horse, but he's getting a little bit of energy. If he can get enough energy, he can get over the line. And I heard Manchin today saying, there's some things he wants to work with the president on with respect to that agenda. So there's some steam in the horse. The polls don't look good for the Democrats in the election coming up. So something has to happen fast.
Yeah, I'm a little cynical on Manchin because I feel like I've heard that song before, but Biden obviously looking to break down the big agenda into, I guess, bite-sized chunks and make it a little bit more palatable for Manchin, for rogue Democrats and for Republicans as well. Obviously, there's the question of inflation. So Biden's kind of reminding me, he came into the job with this surge of energy, and I think he's trying to recreate that again. Obviously, that surge of energy only went for so long the first time. He's trying to recreate that again now.
Yeah, he is. The war has been a boom for him in that, because it's put a focus on him and the administration, and not the navel gazing that was going on and the conspiracy theories and that kind of crap. So I think there's a real agenda here that he can use to bolster his own numbers and rally the nation around and get people out of their stupor and depression about their own case when they see how much they're needed elsewhere in the world. Which brings to me something that we all know about. And I was quite surprised to get the Nigerians are sending 5,000 people to the Ukraine. There's something like 20,000 other people from around the world, not to mention an Israeli battalion of basically Marines, their special forces. Boy, if I were the Russians, I'd be surrendering as fast as possible rather than get caught by Nigerians or special forces of the Israelis. I was thinking about that. The thing that the German soldiers, according to my uncles, feared most were the Black Americans, because they'd heard all these stories about how fierce they were. And of course, that's reinforced by American athletics. So I think these Black soldiers are going to be real demons for these guys.
You know, I want to circle back on something you said with Biden as well, in terms of making sure the government looks like the people that it's meant to represent. We'd be remiss to miss mentioning also that Biden has now found his nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson, to become the first Black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. All goes to plan, such as it were. What do you make of the nomination, Ed?
I think this nomination is the middle of the road. She's, a married relationship with Paul Ryan. I think her brother or sister is married to Ryan's first cousin or one of his. No, I guess it's Ryan's brother's married to one of her sisters. That brings a little Midwestern Republican in it, and it takes a little bit of Black out of it, where she doesn't look like some wild-eyed liberal, but she wears her skin well and has been a good justice. So I would anticipate that Murkowski and Collins, particularly after the horror show of, I'm blocking his name, the justice, the young guy, coming on and them voting for him, they've got to make it up somehow.
Texas, God, no good sentence on this podcast ever starts with Texas. Governor Greg Abbott recently sent a letter to the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services to instruct them to begin investigating reports of parents providing gender transition care to children as child abuse. Now, this is not a law. This is not something that sets out that there will be legal consequences for families with trans children. But it's got the families of trans kids frightened, and it's got trans individuals in Texas frightened. And I think that really might be the point of this by Abbott to frighten people. Any thoughts?
Well, I think it will also frighten enough suburban white women and right-thinking people that they might go out and vote. I want them to do shenanigans like that all the time because there is no law, no judge, no police officer, no social worker is going to arrest or accost anybody for this. But keep it up because you are just digging a deeper and deeper hole for yourself. Because the five goats you're going to get from the crazy right wingers, you're going to get them anyway. Now you're taking the middle away.
And Donald Trump, I mean, speaking of things that never start a good
sentence. Is he still around?
Yes, unfortunately. Look, you know, I've been away the last couple of weeks, as I say. And, you know, I wasn't looking at a lot of news, which was rather nice. But it was certainly my impression that Trump has been getting kind of bolder and bolder in his public statements as he gears up, I guess, for the end of the January 6th commission and any potential sort of landmines that kind of land in his way. I mean, we mentioned his praise for Putin, but overall, he kind of seems to be daring the government to pick him off over crimes committed on January 6th or, you know, financial dealings in his various businesses. What do you make of it, Ed?
I think, as we both know, the most dangerous snake rattles the most when he's facing captivity. So this is the rattle of the snake. That little triangular thing you put over the snake's head, and he starts rattling away, and he very much wants to get you, but one push and the head's gone. Mm-hmm. So, you would do the same thing. You can't ask for forgiveness. You have to push on and hope you get people to paralyze the government for you. And that's what he's trying to do. I think a lot of energy's gone out of that sale.
Thoughts this week, of course, going out to the people of Ukraine. We'll be looking at all the latest next week. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.